I'm not ready yet. No. Well, good morning, everyone. We'll go ahead and get started. We are going to be talking today. We've talked about the message. And the message of Christmas. What is the message of Christmas? And we've been talking through some of that. We spent a lot of time in Isaiah 9, verse 6, of course, those wonderful verse that Isaiah gives to us about the birth of Christ and the coming birth of Christ. Last week, we spoke about the peace and being full of peace during this time of the year and what it means and all of those things. Today, we're going to be talking about joy. And I thought that I would plop down a nice big joke to begin the sermon, but I'm not a comedian, and so I think I'll flush that idea. Come on, I practiced that all week long, too, let me tell you, okay? Yeah, joy is more than just a joke, though, right? We have to understand that. And today we're going to be speaking about the joy of Christ and what that means for all of us. How does the joy of Christ change us? How does it make us different than who we are? So last, as I said, the last few weeks we've been talking about hope. We talked about peace, and both of those are possible because of Jesus and His birth. Before Christ and before His birth, people were longing for hope and peace. They were longing for this. 400 years goes by where they do not hear from God. They don't hear from what He has said, from what all of these things, and no prophets were around during this time, and God seemed to be silent until the cry of His birth of His Son, and possibly even before that when the Lord spoke to Mary and Joseph. But today, when we talk about peace and we talk about hope and even talking about joy, we have to ask this question: how does a baby lying in a manger bring us joy today? We have to ask that question. That question has to be something that we should be asking. How does Jesus bring us joy? And if that is the case, then why is it that sometimes Christians are the most unhappiest people that you face on this earth? Sometimes I just want to walk up to someone, I want to walk up to my brothers and sisters in Christ, I won't mention any names here in this building, but and just go, hey, there seems to be a stick in a place there shouldn't be, we need to pull that out so that you can start having a little joy, right? Let the hearer have the ears to hear what I was just saying. But sometimes Christians have a way of taking and stealing the joy of Christ. Pastor Chaz went, wow, when I said that. You know you would say that up here too. You would say something along those lines too. He shakes his head no, but I know the truth. Miss Tanya's saying yes. He's saying no. That's the real answer right there. And she can see me, so I know what she's saying. So that's joyful, right? Miss Tanya, if you don't know, had a wonderful surgery this week. Yeah, that blessed her so she's able to now see. She, if you didn't know, the last few weeks have been a living hell for Miss Tanya because she has a minimal see. So maybe she could actually see a radiator peacock too and help you out with that. So just saying. The average person, though, today isn't very joyful. Have you ever walked in the streets? Have you ever walked into the store and you walked around a grocery store and just... I maybe I'm weird, maybe this is just me, but I like to walk into a grocery store and I take a note of all the faces that I see in the grocery store. I want to see what kind of mood people are in and whether they're there. Yeah, lately it's not good, right? I think it's because of the cost of opening up and paying for groceries. I will tell you that just this past Wednesday, I did see a lot of joyful faces. I walked into the grocery store and I found out that Giant Eagle was selling brownies for 99 cents. So does chocolate and sugar have something to do with your happiness? I think it does. Somehow, right? But on average, when you walk into a grocery store and you look around at people's faces, they're not very happy. Yeah, not for my wife. No, you're right. That's not. I would be a very unhappy person if my wife had chocolate. But the truth of the matter is that we have one of the greatest reasons of all time to be the most joyful people that has ever walked this face of this earth. There is no reason for us, and I know this is difficult, but there's no reason for any of us in this room to ever not have joy. We should always have joy inside of us. See, joy is different than happiness. There is a difference between the two. If you didn't know that, you will learn that today. But joy and happiness are not the same thing. They're two different things. We need to learn that the simple idea of joy of Christ is more important than anything else that we face. Somehow, this absolute joy that Jesus brings to us has to shine through, not only at this time of the year, but always. You ever notice on Christmas morning, or even right around Christmas time, everyone seems to be in a happy mood. Everyone seems to be joyful. It's hard. I'm sure there are some people that are upset, maybe dealing with the loss of a loved one. I know it's a very difficult thing to go through during Christmas time. But on average, most everyone is happy. Why? Christmas brings joy. The idea of Christ in our life is the most joyful thing that you and I will ever face. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading one of my most favorite verses of the Christmas story today. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, God loves to move into suddenlies. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace among those whom he is pleased." You ever talk about a most wonderful concert you've ever been to? This would have been the greatest concert ever, until we die and get to heaven, and then we get to have this concert every single day. This passage, as I said, happens to be one of my most favorite passages of Christmas time. Why? Because I love the fact that Jesus is being proclaimed to the shepherds. Do you understand that? Jesus is being proclaimed to the Campbells. All right? The shepherds. I'm kidding. It's not just the Campbells. Sorry, guys. You don't get just to take hold of that. Everyone gets that. But the truth of the matter is, think about this. The angels didn't come to the religious elite. The angels didn't come to the Roman soldiers. The angel didn't come to the priests who were praying in the temple. The angels who proclaimed the birth of Christ came to shepherds. Why is that such an important fact? It's important because shepherds were considered one of the lowliest jobs that you could have during this time. It was once said, I heard Joey Johnson say this one time, Bishop Joey Johnson say, the shepherds, who in biblical times were thought to be the most uneducated, the most, they literally had, according to these people at this time, had nothing better that they could do, so they stuck them out in the field to take care of the sheep. The truth of the matter is that it takes great energy, it takes great effort, It takes some intelligence to keep track of animals and where they're going. And so Joey Johnson says the fact that they were shepherds that the angels came to shows that God had his understanding of who he wanted to go to. But the most important part about this is, and the reason why I love this is just simply the idea that Jesus came to those that were out in the field doing the work that they were supposed to be doing. He didn't find the people, the angels didn't go to the people that were sitting in the temple, the religious elite. He went to the shepherds, the everyday person, the common folk, if you will. And it gives me hope that when Jesus comes back, that all of us common folk are going to be able to hear the trumpet coming and hearing that trumpet sound. And we'll be, come on, Lord Jesus, take me home. I'm ready to go, right? I want to hear that trumpet sound. But the idea of this is that the angels say something very interesting to the shepherds. First of all, they say, fear not. A few years ago, I did a Christmas sermon series on fear, and every time you see the angel speaking to either Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, Zacharias, all of these, you find the very words, fear not. Now, quite honestly, anytime an angel appears in front of you, you're going to be fearing a little bit. You're going to be shaking in your boots a little bit. Let's be honest, right? But the very first thing that the shepherds hear from the angels, I should say, is fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. This isn't just little joy. This isn't just something neat happened over here in Bethlehem. No, the angels are proclaiming to the shepherds that there is a reason for great joy. Our English language, our translation of that word, great joy, makes it sound like there's something really neat that happened, but not something really, really special. The Hebrew translation of that is much deeper when it talks about the joy. The Hebrew translation is that there is nothing better that has happened on this face of this earth at this moment in time. That's the depth of that word. When we see and we translate it into English, we say great joy. But the idea here is that there's an amazing event that will never be replicated again that has happened in Bethlehem. And so when the shepherds hear this, they are amazed. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll continue after that point. Father, we thank you for this most precious and holy day that you give to us. This day that we can celebrate who you are. This day that we can come before you and just celebrate your goodness. Today, Lord, as we tackle on and go after this word joy and what it means for each and every single one of us in this room, may we understand that joy is an emotion, is more than an emotion. It is a gift that you have given to us. Father, Lord, come in this place. Help us to have your joy. No matter our circumstances, no matter what's going on around us, may we bask in the joy that you bring to us. And may we share that joy with those around us. May we leave this place later today shining in the joy that can only come from a relationship with you, Jesus. And help us to share that joy with all of those around us. Help us today, Father. Remove any hindrances. Holy Spirit, come and just help us to grasp a hold of what you would say to us. I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words today, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I went to see my mother-in-law this week, and she is sick. She's been dealing with this cold and this cough and pretty much under the weather for a while. But it was interesting because I just dropped in. I said, what do you need? And she said, I need bananas. So I dropped her off bananas. And as I walked in, I said, how are you feeling? And she said, I have great joy because I feel like I'm getting over my sickness, a sickness that has been hindering her for a while. And I immediately understood what she was saying. And I thought of Miss Tanya, and I told Miss Tanya earlier today that I've been rejoicing all week for her. Because can you imagine for a moment, and she can, but maybe none of the rest of us can, but can you imagine going through three weeks? Almost 4 weeks, probably? 4 weeks and not being able to see. or seeing very cloudy and having a hard time seeing things. And this is by no means to make fun of you, Miss Tanya, but the other last week when I asked her something, she was like this. And could you imagine that? And so then to be able to see clearly the joy that comes into that. Could you imagine that understanding, that feeling that overcomes you? Or when you're sick and you've been sick for a long time and then all of a sudden you wake up the next morning and you're like, I feel okay. I remember a few months ago, I was seeing a therapist, or I seen a chiropractor, actually. He was doing therapy on my elbow for my tennis elbow. And I remember one day I got up and I went like this, and I'm like, wait, it doesn't hurt. What's going on? You know, is the world ending? My elbow doesn't hurt. It had hurt for a year, and for it not to hurt was amazing. But none of this compares to the joy of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's great joy. Believe me, that's amazing joy. Those are amazing things. They're wonderful things. But the joy that Jesus brings to us is one of the most amazing things. We have to ask ourselves, what is joy? See, today the world will tell you that joy is feeling happy. But the truth of it is that that is not what the Bible says joy is. See, we think today that joy is having enough money in our bank accounts, everyone being nice to us, getting the green light all the way through the city on our way home, not being pulled over when we're speeding and we go flying past a cop. That's joy, right? Those are wonderful things. No, that's not joy. Are those good things? Yes, those are good things. Is having the money you need a good thing? Sure, absolutely. Sure does beat not having the money you need. But all of those situations are temporary things. Joy is a permanent feeling. The biblical definition of joy is a permanent understanding of your positioning here on this earth under Jesus. When you understand who Jesus is, when you understand where he's at, you can have joy in your heart even when the whole world around you is crashing down. When you understand who Jesus is, when you understand the relationship you have with him, it doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account, you can still have joy. I once met a African brother. He was a wonderful young man that I met through HarvestNet, and we were having a conversation with him, and as we were sitting there talking, we decided, I said, may I take you to lunch? He said, I would love to go to lunch with you, and so we went to lunch, and we went to I can't remember the name of it, someplace in Solon. But anyway, it was a sit-down restaurant, and we got this menu, and the menu was about 4 or 5 pages long. And I see him opening it up, and his eyes are like this. Yeah, it does sound like Mike's Place a little bit. It wasn't Mike's Place, but it sounded like it. Burntwood Tavern, that was the name of the place. And so, and as we opened, as he looked at us, he goes, Pastor Jason, I said, yes. How do you decide what to eat? And I said, what do you mean? How do you decide what do you want to eat? And he goes, I don't know. In my country, we are lucky to eat, let alone have a choice of what we eat. And at that moment, I took a step back and said, there's a difference between us and other people. But there's a difference. See, the idea of having just enough to survive is different than us going to a restaurant that has a menu of 5 pages and choosing what we want to have. See, the joy, the idea of joy here is that joy is not a feeling. Joy is a feeling of comfort and expectation. That's what people tell us. The definition, the Webster definition is that joy is this feeling of expectation. It's this feeling of comfort. It's this feeling of happiness, if you will, that comes over you. The truth of the matter is that if it's truly only that, then you can only be joyful when everything's going right. And that's not right. If you look at Scripture, and we will here in a moment, but if everywhere you go in Scripture, do you know that the Christian is known for being joyful? That was one of the main characteristics of Christ. That was one of the main, when Jesus entered into a town, people noticed the joy that he had. And then that transferred to his disciples. And so when the disciples went to town, they're like, why are these people so happy? We're persecuting them. We're trying to kill them. And yet they're still happy. What's going on? See, they had the biblical idea of joy and not the worldly idea of joy. Biblical joy is not fleeting. It will last for eternity. Can money bring you joy? Sure, it can bring you happiness. Can having power bring you joy? It can bring you happiness for a moment. But what we base joy on in this world, what this earth bases joy on, has everything to do with temporary things and not permanent. And so therefore, if we are basing our joy on temporary things, and then what happens when we get sad? What happens when we run out of money? What happens when we lose power? What happens when we do those things? Can we still be joyful? No, not if our joy is based on these things. And so when Scripture talks about joy, what it's trying to understand is that your joy is not based in your it's not based in your happiness, it's based in Jesus and who He is. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. I love this. James is a wonderful book, and we studied this book not too long ago, but if you want if you want a dose of realness, you want a dose of getting slapped in the face a little bit, read James. But I love how James opens up. James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials or various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith... For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James begins by saying, count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials and tribulations. Can you imagine? James, do you understand what you're saying? So when I go through trouble, I'm supposed to count that as joy? Yeah, you are. So when I'm sick, I'm supposed to count that as joy. When someone's persecuting me, I'm supposed to count that as joy? Yes. Why? Because that gives an opportunity for us to find the joy of Christ inside of those circumstances instead of the circumstances of this world providing our joy. Because listen, at the simplest idea, in fact, is that the joy that this world produces is going to go away. What's the only thing that has never gone away before? It's never. Jesus has been truthful in everything that he said. All of the prophecies leading up to his birth has been true. All of the prophecies about what he was going to do on his life has been true. Everything that he has done has been true. It's laid in Scripture. It's laid in history. It's right there. Nothing can argue that idea. And so when we base our joy, when we base our hope, when we base our peace, and next week when we base our love in Jesus, what happens? We are a hold of something that will never go away. That will never slip away. And so that's why when we face trials of various kinds, we can count it all joy. John chapter 15, verse 11 says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus is writing these words. John chapter 15, John chapter 17 is my favorite chapter in the whole entire Bible, but John chapter 15 is pretty good too. I mean, any words that Jesus says is really good, right? So... We're splitting hairs when it comes to that. But the truth of the matter is, John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and what he's trying to say to them is that, listen, I am leaving with you a joy. A joy that will not be based on anything on this earth. It's going to be based in me. And so I want to leave this to you so that your joy may be complete, that your joy may be full, and that you can be joyful. We must ask this question, though. If that is true, then where is the joy today? Where's the joy in our lives today? Where's the joy in your life today? How has the joy of Christ How has the joy of what he has given to you changed your life today? Over and over again, we see that we are called to have joy in less than ideal circumstances. James tells us to count it all joy. Jesus tells us that he's coming to fulfill his joy. Do you know both of them were martyred for their faith? Jesus, of course, hung on the cross for his faith. He was martyred for his faith. James was martyred for his faith as well. How can someone who is being persecuted and then eventually killed still count that as joy? See, in our human sense, in our human mind, today we have a hard time understanding that. We have a hard time grappling, having a hard time grasping a hold of how we can have joy in situations that are less than joyful. But it really gets down to the simple fact of where is your circumstance, where is your attention, where is your mind going? If your mind is focused on all of the temporary things of this earth and your temporary happiness of whatever that earth may bring, then yes, your joy is going to be fleeting and it's going to go away very quickly. But if your joy is found in Jesus and your joy is always found in him, then we understand that as we go through these trials, as we go through these tribulations, we have hope, we have peace, we have joy because of who he is, and we can look towards that joy and peace, and we can overcome any situations that are in our life today. See, the truth of the matter is we're looking for joy in all the wrong places. We're looking for the temporary things of this earth to bring us joy. And then we as Christians have this habit of taking the temporary things of this earth and trying to force God into those things. Well, God is the author of all things, and so he's going to bless me, and he's the owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills, and so that he can give me all of the money that I ever need. Is that true? Yes, that is absolutely true. There is truth that God does own all of the cattle on the hill, but your joy is not based in money, and Jesus knows that, and so does God. And he doesn't want your joy to be based in money. He doesn't want your joy to be, he wants your joy to be based in him. The reason why this is important is because when our joy is based in him, when we go through these situations, our attitude of joy doesn't leave us. It stays with us. Why? Because Jesus is always here with us. Jesus brings us real joy because regardless of what happens here on this earth, God is reigning and our eternity is secured with him, and we have a relationship with him. Whatever you face today in this earth, whatever you are going through in your life today, none of that matters. I know that's really hard to hear. But as your pastor, I want to stand up here and I want to tell you that, listen, today, the only thing that really matters is Jesus Christ in our life. That's the only thing that really matters. The tribulations that you're facing at work or in your relationships or in your finances and all of those things, those are all going to go away. Those are all going to be gone. One day they'll never be here and you won't have to worry about it. Does that mean that we can walk through this earth and say, I won't have trials, I won't have tribulations? No, Jesus and Scripture never promises us that we will not have trials and tribulations. Do you understand that? There's not once in this that Jesus says, oh, become a Christian and everything will be okay. No, that doesn't say that. In fact, it says the opposite. Become a Christian and guess what? You're going to be persecuted for your faith. Become a Christian and guess what? People are not going to like you. Become a Christian and you're going to have to face the attacks of the devil. Become a Christian and you're going to face all of these tribulations, all of these trials that come against you, that come at you, trying to change who you really are. Why? Because they're trying to steal your joy. See, when our joy is based in Jesus, when our joy is based in him, we can face these trials and tribulations and it doesn't matter. We can face all of the things that come in our life because we are no longer focusing on these temporary things. We are focusing on the eternity. And the only thing that lasts for eternity is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Your body here, listen, my wife and I were joking because she said, have you ever bent down and just heard something crack? I'm like, every morning. Truth of the matter is that one day, this body is not going to be here either. Thank God. I'll be able to eat as many M&Ms as I want in heaven and won't have to worry about gaining any weight. Yeah, she'll be able to eat chocolate and not have to worry about allergies or anger or anything else. See, the truth of the matter is that our life and everything in it is just a fleeting passing of time. Our relationship with Jesus lasts forever. That's where our joy needs to be. That's where our joy needs to be based in. That's why when we face the trials and tribulations of our life, we can go and say, I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm joyful. Wait, you're joyful? Look at all the persecution you're getting. Yeah, I'm joyful. I once heard a story of a group of young men who were in Iraq. Shortly during Desert Storm, right at the beginning of Desert Storm. They were Christians. Had given their life to Christ. And the Taliban had found them, had brought them out into the middle of the city, had lined them up with hoods over their heads, and told them to denounce Christ or they would die. And we began to hear, the story says that you began to hear them singing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And they began to sing this song, and they began to laugh. And they begin to celebrate. And their captors are like, "What is going on? We are about to behead you." And they are laughing. And so the Taliban, getting angry, walks over and rips their hoods off. And the one gentleman was there, and he had the brightest smile on his face. And he looks at him and he says, "Why are you smiling?" He goes, "Because I'm getting ready to meet my Savior. And that's more than anything I've ever faced. And it's the most joyful thing in my life." The Taliban used him as an example to the rest of that group by slicing his head off, thinking that it would cause the rest of the group to turn away from their faith. Out of the 15 men that were there, every single one of them is said to have rejoiced up until their last breath that they took, laughing and celebrating the fact that they are going to be with their Savior. As I read this, I thought, man, any financial issues, any health issues that I have are nothing compared to that. If these men can rejoice in the midst of their dying, in the midst of their death, and rejoice the fact and be so happy and joyful that they are about ready to meet their Savior, why can't we? What's keeping us from that joy? What's keeping us from that hope? What's keeping us from having that time with Him? What's keeping us from grabbing a hold of the joy that's before us? See, we have to stop focusing on things that really don't matter in this life. We have to stop prioritizing everything above Christ. Stop prioritizing all these things and saying, "Woe is me, my life is so bad, and it's all of these problems are going to happen, all of these things are going on." No, we can still have joy in the midst of all of those things because it's Jesus who's on our throne. Right. It's He who is there. It's He who is receiving a text. When the money is tight and the bills are large, don't focus on them, focus on Him. When your health is waning and it seems to be that you're in the midst of pain and suffering and you don't know if your vision's coming back, lean on Him. When there seems to be no hope for tomorrow, there seems to be no peace because there's wars all around us and everything is going crazy, don't focus on that. Focus on Him. One of the best things that I have done in the last few weeks is I've turned off the news. Why? Because see, when I watch the news, I start to focus on all the bad things that are happening in the world. I start focusing on all the negative things that are going on. Does that take those negative things away? Does that take the war in Israel away? Does that take the financial crisis? Does it take away all of the problems that we have in this country? No, by shutting off the news, it does not take any of that stuff away. It's still there. But you know what? My focus is no longer on that stuff. My focus is on Him. Not going to worry about whether those things are going on because I'm worried about whether I'm doing what God has called me to do or not. When we focus on that, when we focus on Him, when we focus our attention on Him and all of those things, guess what happens? The joy comes because He never leaves us alone. Do you understand that? Jesus never left any, He never did, never will, or has, and never will. Past, present, future. Jesus is always with you. No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is with you. All you have to do is focus on Him. Focus on what He has for us. Focus on the things that He has for you and I. Have our attention turned towards Him, and He will never leave you alone. So not only does He say that He will walk with us, He also promised us the Holy Spirit, who will walk with us, guide us, strengthen us, directing us through those problems. And so when we find our place, when we find our time and space, when we say, I have no joy, when we find our time, when we say joy has gone and is fleeting, may we look and remember that the light of Christ is the reason for our joy. When all darkness seems to be around us, when everything seems to be shutting down, when there seems to be no hope, no peace, may we understand that our hope and peace it's not based in this world, it's based in Jesus. And so therefore, because we have the hope and peace of Jesus, we can also have the joy that Jesus brings. Finally, can I remind you that joy is a gift of the Spirit. Do you know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are? One of them is joy. We are called to receive the gift of joy from the Holy Spirit, but not only to receive it, but to then give it out. May I encourage you today. Listen, I know there's times when we're down. I know there's times when we feel disappointed about what's going on. I know there's times that we struggle. But Christians, listen, if you're here today and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you're here today and you've accepted Him and what He's done on the cross for you, there should never be a day when you don't walk around in the joy of Jesus Christ. You should be the most, people should be able to look at you and say, what are you happy about? You have no reason to be happy. Yes, I do. I have Jesus Christ. I have Jesus, and I need nothing else. Oh, what are you happy about? You don't have any money to even rub 2 cents together. I don't care. My happiness isn't based in that. Oh, what are you happy about? The doctors just told you that you have cancer. That's okay. I serve a God who heals, right? Right? I can go both sides now. All sides, that's right. When we stop focusing on the things of this world and we focus on Him, there is no reason for us not to have joy. I want to encourage you this Christmas season, and not only this Christmas season, but every single day of your life with Christ, to walk in the peace and joy of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that all three of those go together. Hope. Hope springs eternal. Right? You got to have hope. If you don't have hope, what do you have? You have nothing. If there's no hope for a future, if there's no hope for eternity, if there's no hope for Jesus, you have nothing. What comes in that hope? Peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that covers everything that you have. And then because you have that hope, because you have that peace, what's the final thing you can have? Joy. Because I don't need to face anything else. Listen, Christian, may I encourage you, start walking in the joy of Christ. Let the smile be on your face. Try it. It's really fun. Walk into the grocery stores, and when someone's in a bad mood, walk up and say, God bless you. God loves you. Walk into a restaurant, and the waiter comes over, and she's had a bad day, saying, God bless you. Can I pray for you? Share the joy. We need, of all people, we need to be sharing the joy of Christ with everyone around us. Why? Because no one else is doing it. And we're called to do it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Today, you and I have a chance. We have an opportunity, but we have a responsibility even more than that. And that is to share the promise of eternity, the completion of our faith, and all the joy that comes with that. It comes in the life of Jesus, who came to this earth to overcome the trials and tribulations. Do you know Jesus? I love the story of Jesus when he walks into Lazarus, and Mary and Martha are complaining to Jesus because he took too long to get there. My brother is dead. All of the professional wailers are there. And this was real. I laugh because today we have a lot of professional wailers in this world around us, let me tell you. And they don't get paid anything. They just do it for free. They go around wailing and complaining and moaning and crying about everything that's going on in this world. How about, and I'm so frustrated, so worked up about that. Stop moaning and complaining and start living in the joy. Christian, if you are here today and you're moaning and complaining about your life, stop it. What's wrong with you? Your life isn't bad. If you think your life's bad, I don't care who you are, I don't care how much money you make, I don't care what you are missing, I don't care. Your life is really good. I can connect you with some people that will change your mind on how bad your life is. Can send you to Africa. Send you to El Salvador. Send you places that you'll find out that your life is really bad. Or your life isn't bad at all. We have an opportunity today as Christians to share the joy of Christ with those around us. Could you imagine just for one moment if you walked into the store and you met someone, you're having a conversation with them, and the very first thing they say is, "What is it like to know Jesus?" "Well, it's all right. Well, I have to go to church every Sunday. Have to get up early to be at church and set up Corey. I have to set up and tear down. I have to do all of this stuff at church. It's, you know, it's whatever. He's there. He's God." The funny thing about this is that this happens all the time. Would you want to follow a faith of a person who's talking that way? I wouldn't. Would you want to follow the faith of someone that says, "Woe is me, the world's ending, everything's going crazy. No, you're not going to want to follow that. You want to follow the faith of someone who's going, "God is good. He's such a blessing. What do you mean he's a blessing? You have trials and tribulations. You're going through this, you're going through that. Doesn't matter. God has blessed me so many ways. I can't even begin to tell you today how many times Jesus has blessed me in the past week. I can't even begin to tell you." That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. That's the joy. That's why Christians are supposed to be known by their joy. That's why we're supposed to share that joyous attitude, that joyous idea. That's why joy is a gift of the Spirit, because he wants us to walk in it. And it's time we as Christians understand that this joy doesn't only come at Christmas time. It comes every single day because of who Jesus is. And it will last for eternity because of what he did. It's time for us as Christians to be happy about what he has done for us. Will you stand with me, please? You know, I once heard someone said, "Jesus is the reason for the season." Problem of it is that person said that in the midst of a whole long string of things about everything that was going wrong in their life. I stopped and I looked at her and I said, "Ma'am, can I ask you a question?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "You said one statement about Jesus is the reason for the season, but everything else was negative about what was going on in your life. Do you know that this reason, this season, and this reason that we celebrate today, Jesus Christ wants you to walk in joy?" "What do you mean?" "He wants you to be happy. He wants you to walk in that joy. said, I don't know if I can find joy in all of the problems that are going on. And then I looked at her straight in her face and I said, then you don't really know who Jesus is. And I prayed for her right there in the middle of Giant Eagle. I said, try to focus on the joy of Jesus instead of everything else that's going on in your life. Walk in His goodness and His mercy. Be close to Him. My encouragement to you today is the same thing. Walk in that joy. Be known by the joy of what Christ brings to you. My brothers and sisters who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, walk in that joy. Walk in that peace. Walk in that hope. Walk in those things that He brings to us so that we can be the true model of what biblical joy in Jesus Christ means. He is the reason for the season, but He's also the reason for our joy. He's also the reason for our peace. He's also the reason for our hope. It's not based in temporary things that are going to fail. It's based in the only thing that has never, ever failed. Jesus has never failed. And He won't fail you either. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You've done in our lives. We thank You for the joy that can only come from You. Father, we as Christians, well, let's first start, Father, with that. If you're here today or you're watching at home online and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, may today be that day. May this day be the day that gives you reason to have real joy, real hope, real peace. And may we say, Lord Jesus, it's as simple as saying, come into my heart, repenting of your sins, repenting of the things that keep you close to Him. Saying, come into my heart, be my Savior, be my King. Today I want that joy. Lord, help us today to walk in that joy. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you've been a Christian all your life, but somehow you've lost the joy, may I tell you to recommit yourself to Him. Recommit yourself to Jesus by looking and seeking Him and seeking the joy that He has for us. Regardless of your situation, regardless of your trials, regardless of the tribulations that you may be going through, the persecutions, whatever it is that you're going through, there's always a place for joy in your heart because Jesus is there with you. Lord, may we focus on You in the midst of all of the trials, in the midst of all of the problems, in the midst of all of the things that we are facing in our life. May we have joy because we have You. You are our real reason for joy. You are the real reason for this season. But most importantly, You are our Savior and King. And we celebrate You today. Forgive us for not having that joy. Help us today, Lord, to receive that blessing, that gift that the Holy Spirit calls us to walk in, the joy of living a life with You. We love You, Lord. We glorify You. We honor You. And we praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
I love You, Lord. Oh, Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will see the goodness of God. All my life I've been faithful. All my life I've been so, so good. With every breath that I can give, I will sing of the goodness. Just like you were close, I know. so, so true. With every breath that I am able, I will sing in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I have made, I will sing in the goodness of God.
You know, this past week I had a conversation with some family members, and we were just talking about my father and this season. And it's hard as we face this Christmas season to be facing someone that, or without someone that was here. And as we were sitting there and emotions were coming out and we were all sitting there kind of crying and talking about this, I said, you know what? But I'm so happy. My mother looks at me and she goes, what do you mean you're happy? So I'm happy because I know where my father's at. I can celebrate. I can be joyful that he's in heaven. Even though we miss him here today. I miss him every single day. But I can be joyful where he's at. And so even in a season like this, even with missing loved ones, there's a reason to have hope. There's a reason to have peace. But there's a reason to have joy. And that joy is in Jesus Christ. He will lead and guide you every step that you take. If we just allow us to walk in that joy of this life. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done. All that you are doing. And all that you will do. You give us the ultimate reason for joy. And may we share that joy with those around us. In this coming week, Father, this coming season of Christmas, as we leave this place and we begin to travel out around our families and in our Christmas parties and everywhere we go, may we leave the seeds of joy everywhere we go because we leave a little bit of you walking with us in our life. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week. Don't forget, next week is the cookie event and also the ugly Christmas sweater.